Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
And hello and welcome to the Monday Scrum again. Adam Peacock alongside fellow scrummager James Graham. Hello, mate.
Fellow scrummager, I like that. I like that.
And, well, journalism's version of Wally Fullerton-Smith. I'll throw that one at you this week.
I like that. Brent as a Reed. Queenslander.
Queenslander, the Gator. Hard-running.
He was one of the greats, the Gator.
Uncompromising. Oh, and mate, a Finn as well, back in the day.
He was a ripper.
Well.
He was a good footballer, Wally Fullerton-Smith.
How's things?
Not too bad, yeah.
Yeah, you're filling up that notebook
sideline
over there.
For a couple of games in the week. I was sideline with Jimmy on Sunday at the Tigers game.
Were you seen, as was seen on various social media posts, Jimmy?
No,
White,
my shirt stayed on.
Your shirt, you know, shirt stayed on, Gordon Tallis.
So I arrived, I was a bit later than those guys, and I walked in the commentary box, and I walk in and there's Gordy, Jimmy and Charlie with their shirts off.
Mm.
Yeah, it was imposing.
I bet it was.
Well, we will be talking about that a little bit later on in my W2F moment of the week.
Okay. So, when Jimmy's shirt came off, not, I just wish I had some sunnies on because it was quite the reflection. It was Bateman-like.
We'll get Corey Horsbrough. We'll get to that a bit later on. But, guys, a look at the top four after the weekend's round. Brisbane Dolphins, Manly Warriors. As a first four, I don't know what that's paying after nearly the first month of the competition, but it'll be up there, the price. But we'll start, as we do, in the media, talking about things down the bottom, because we'll talk about the negative, unfortunately. And West Tigers, well, I mean, with 20 minutes to go, you're thinking this is going to be 40 yesterday. Fair credit to them. They hung in there and made a game of it towards the end. But overall, James, your thoughts on the Tigers? We seem to be talking a lot about them at the start of this season.
Yeah, well, they started this season full of hope and optimism and change and new staff and new players and the difference that they could all make. But unfortunately, we've not seen much in what we're seeing on the field in terms of how they play, how they attack, how they defend. Look, credit to them. They did come back into the game after one substitution with three or four moving parts involved in that as well. But before that, they were just not in that game. The try from Naden was a breakaway try. Obviously, the Dogs had some breakaway ones too, but the Dogs probably bombed a couple of opportunities and they should have scored. And then in that last 20 minutes, I think the Dogs were looking to, I think they'd had enough of the conditions. Twice they looked to kick the ball out, just slow things down. I think they probably underestimated the fact that the Tigers were going to have a dig there, and they scored three tries in 4 minutes, or pretty close to that. But the Tigers, look, I think what summed it up, there was a moment in that first half, there was a quick play of the ball, Api Korosau's jumped out, there's no one around, he's looking, he does a complete 360, and there's no Tiger there ready to come and take advantage. This is right on the Bulldogs try line. They were just sat so deep. And then if you look at when they actually turned it around and they started to look good, it was all coming through the ruck. And then even the very last play to have a crack at it, you could see all the spine players had come to the middle. Now, that was a structured play, but it's the unstructured stuff that they need to get right. So I don't know what they're waiting for, and we can all see it here. Like, you should be the instinct players should be around Api Korosau and ready to go.
Yeah,
away, because he's just it looks like he's too far above them. He's on a different level, and they're making him look bad, and I feel for Api Korosau because he's one of the, if not the best number nines in our game. So they've got to turn things around quick, and it worked in the last 20, but wow, it doesn't get much easier this week, does it?
Well, yeah, it doesn't get any easier for the next 6 weeks. I just looked at their draw. Storm, Broncos, Parramatta, bye, Manly, Penrith.
Chance against
the next 6 weeks. Chance against the bye. They should beat the bye. But the other five games, that's a tough draw. I want to take a little bit of a optimistic view, because I think the last 10 showed, I know Canterbury had sort of dropped off, But they showed they can actually score points and create something because their attack's been woeful the first 2 weeks. And it was woeful again for 70 minutes yesterday. And the other positive for me, Jimmy, was John Bateman. John actually created things. He looked as though, this is a guy who's just basically just got off a plane, hasn't played a game yet, should have scored in the first half. I think it was the first half when he created something out of absolutely nothing.
Well,
things happen around him.
They do. But that no try on the grounding, in my opinion, it should have been a penalty to the Bulldogs because he ran behind one of his players and took advantage from that. Why they didn't check that first is beyond me.
It might have been chalked off if they actually gave
it. They usually go to the first port of call. Did he make an obstruction? Yeah. And then that should have been, that's the first penalty, not the fact that he knocked on.
But things just happen around John Bateman.
That's it. John Bateman, he's not over here on holiday. We can see that with his tan.
lack thereof.
Yeah. Look, he's a tremendous competitor. He drags people up. And considering he's only been at the organisation for a handful of weeks, things are looking good that he just took to. He's back in the NRL like a duck to water. He's never left.
It was just hard direct running though. We saw it a bit on Friday night with the Roosters once Jared and Brandon Smith came on, straightened everything up. And it's weird that you can fall into the trap at the start of a game, James, and you're kind of trying to play around teams or whatever when. Since Dally Messenger started the competition back in 1908, the best way on a rugby league field early in the game
play is direct,
straight and direct.
Play direct and perhaps with a little bit of width, but not certainly not sideways. With John Bateman as well, he was given a difficult task coming out first game. It's hot for everybody, I get that, but that's his first NRL game in a long time. He's had no trials, so and then he started on an edge, moved into the middle, and then I think. Sheens would probably admit he thought his day was done, and then they started to think, hang on a minute, we can win this. So they threw him back on. He's that type of person. But that is a positive that they showed they can play when they want. But Tigers fans will be wondering what on earth that first 60 minutes was about.
Surely they've got to start the game this week the way they finished it, with Wakeham at half, Brooksy at six. Maybe Dewey at fullback or in the centres, but you've got to start this week.
How long's Laurie away?
I don't know.
Tough one this week in the sense that they're not only coming up against the Melbourne Storm at home against the Melbourne Storm that's had a disappointing result, but two disappointing results. Yeah. So Craig Bellamy is not only angry, he's atomic.
Yes.
This week.
Do you think Laurie comes straight back in, though?
Can absolutely. I go back to the Tigers? You do? Absolutely. Okay. He has been, I watched him in that game in the loss to Newcastle, and he was by far and away their best player. I don't see what they gain by putting Dewey at fullback.
Could you push him in the centres and play
possibly,
Wakeham and Brooks?
Perhaps. I don't think Dewey is a fullback.
But you're right about Melbourne. I mean, their last two performances are two of the worst performances I can ever remember a Melbourne side playing
back-to-back.
Well, really,
they were woeful.
There's plenty of attributes that Melbourne Storm have been, founded upon or that we associate within their very recent history. One of those is they don't beat themselves.
No.
And they did that against the Gold Coast. They beat themselves. Like conceding tries directly from errors, conceding just before half time. These are things that you just don't associate with Melbourne Storm. And another attribute, they don't lose back to back. And they lost at home to the Dogs.
Yep.
And then you think, Gold Coast not in everybody's top four, top eight. The Dogs probably aren't either.
No.
Go up there and lose. It just goes to show how much that they miss someone like Cameron Munster.
So he's back. But just on Bellamy, there was words after that game on the weekend said that he was impressed with the early response early in the week at training. Like, okay, we've dropped that one to the Dogs, have to be an attitude adjustment. And then apparently it kind of tapered off a bit as the week went on. So as the game drew closer to turn it all around, he wasn't that impressed with the way they were training. James, just take us into, we don't see that. We only see what you rock up with in a weekend, the attitude you rock up in the weekend. How vital is it that you nail, and Wayne Bennett's talked about this as well, before the first Dolphins game, he goes, yeah, we nailed our last two training sessions, and that's when I knew we were going to have a good first up performance against the Roosters. Again, we're so far out of the bubble when it comes to that. How important is it? Like, can you feel it as a player if you get those things behind closed doors right?
Yes, sometimes you can just, well, when it's not on, that's when you notice it. Because I think, generally speaking, it's on. And the skill level's high, the talk, the communication's great, everyone's in sync. But then you really notice when it's not.
Yeah.
I think so it stands out more. But it's interesting to hear Bellamy talk publicly about that. But then, having said that, I think back to the Sharks when they won their comp in 2016, and they talk about the training run, the captain's run, the day before the game, and just how atrocious it was. Like, the worst session ever.
Yeah.
That's their words, not mine. So sometimes, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. You look back and go, oh, we weren't on at training, but really they should have the ability to come game day to focus in. I think, you know, speaking of Coach Bellamy, what was alarming for me is the fact in his post-game press conference, he said the care factor.
Yeah. Didn't care enough.
It was very, very poor care factor. And you're like, that's
odd.
That's a real shot across the bow of the playing group, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a real...
especially publicly to question the group's care factor.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge slap in the face. Like, I worry for the Tigers this because if that doesn't, you know, regalvanize the storm and bring them back to life, I don't think anything will.
Yeah, it's a bit like Reedy's. But where else has Bellamy got to go after this week? If that doesn't work, it's like a bit like the parent saying you're grounded. Yeah, so what to the teenager? The teenager still jumps out the window and goes out on a Saturday night. I don't know what he's got left to kind of warn them with.
I reckon it's further evidence of how the 17th team has diluted the depth, because you look at Melbourne, they're without Pappenhausen, Munster. They were missing a couple of others. I can't remember. Nelson. And you take those guys out, and Jonah Pezza came in and did a great job for Melbourne. But it just shows if you don't have your top players in the current comp, doesn't matter who you are, you're going to struggle, I think. There's not many sides that have depth anymore, particularly them, because the Dolphins have stripped them
The three ones in the pack that the Dolphins just stripped.
Yeah, but then they're still playing with a full salary cap.
Yeah, well, so, they are minus.
Yeah, but
about $3 million or something.
Yeah, but there's plenty of teams that suffer injuries.
Yeah.
And Melbourne, if there's a club that should expect for star players not to be playing, yeah, you look at the Origin period; they've notoriously been hampered for Origin. Yeah.
But I'm saying the depth's not as good now, Jimmy. So
perhaps the depth isn't. Yeah, perhaps you're right. But if you look at the players that have left that organization to go to the Dolphins, they're probably the two Bromwich brothers and Kafusi that they couldn't afford to keep.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, they've not been pilfered from younger players. They're like, you know, quality international forwards that, yeah, perhaps they just didn't have room for anymore. They bought in Tarek Sims. You can't keep them all, really. This isn't a problem that's exclusive to the Melbourne Storm.
I acknowledge that. I'm not saying they should have been able to keep them all. What I'm saying is they lost those blokes and they just haven't been able to replace them with players who could play at a similar level. I mean, Tarek's had
I think it's more the fact that, like, it's coming to the... It's now evident just how valuable Munster is. And we talk of players leaving. I think the greatest bit of recruitment work was done by keeping Cameron Munster.
And Pappenhausen is a big loss for them too.
Huge. You know, you take your 1-6 out of any team, and they're going to hugely suffer. And they're not in a position where, say, for the Roosters, for example, they lose their 1-6.
Yeah.
You know, you can rejig and keep some those key position players. So if the Roosters lose Tedesco and Kiri, you would move Manu into 5-8 and then Suolahi to the back. So the Roosters have got that depth, but it's moving people from other stars from other positions into those key position areas where Melbourne probably don't have that. But this is a problem that all clubs are going to face.
Yeah.
I still think Melbourne have got enough to come back into the pack. But the competition, again, I think, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it later. I think the competition this year is wide open. And that pack is closer and larger than ever before. I don't think there's a genuine standout. I think, well, obviously, as the weeks go on, we might see that. I think there's two or three that are slightly above the pack, but they're in danger of slipping back in. And I think that pack is probably, what, 10 or 12?
Yeah, it's big.
We'll get to that later, as Jimmy intimated there. We'll get to that later on about some of the contenders or last year's top sides starting slow and some of the better starters of this year. But just quickly, playing footy in 40 degrees, I can't imagine it's an over joyful experience, James. I mean, we've got being your WTF
sideline.
Moment.
Try being sideline.
In a T-shirt and shorts, sitting there doing nothing.
It was a black T-shirt, though.
You're in the shade, in the shade as well.
The second half. First half was tough.
Yeah.
But seriously.
Doggies officials have been in touch, actually, and said that Reedy was constantly asking for fresh ice. And,
wet towel.
I'm Brent Reed. I've got to give the punters the exact news, fresh off. They've told me that
you should have gone and got one and stuck it on, for the cross.
You did.
Average of 53 points on the weekend in games. I reckon it was down to the fact that it was stinking hot. Yeah. Watching that game on Thursday night at Four Pints, it was you can notice the players got to about the 25-minute mark of each half, and I was like, get me out of here. Yeah. The lungs are inflamed and all that. The lowest scoring game was the Roosters Bunnies game, 38 points, but you had some games over 70 points. Is that purely down to the conditions early season, conditioning not quite there, the winter sport? Played on the surface of the sun on the weekend.
Probably the game now as well. The game's a bit more open, isn't it, with the rule changes and everything? But probably the weather played a part. I mean, you saw the Dragons-Broncos game, the last 10. Hmm. The Dragons ran out of steam, Broncos ran all over them. So imagine a little bit of that's the conditions and the fitness of the players. But look, they gave them more time. Yet they had drink breaks at 20 minutes into each half. They had a 20-minute half time yesterday at Belmore. Constantly running drinks. There was a little breeze actually blowing across the ground as well at them.
Sea breeze out of Belmont.
It wasn't as bad as it was made out to be. I thought it was okay.
So you're in the Games Gone Soft Brigade?
A little bit, yeah.
You're one of those, Games Gone Soft.
Please.
Beautiful conditions. They can't tie in. Everyone's tired. What are they moaning about? You know, it really is right, to be fair. The conditions are horrible, but it's the same for both teams. Yeah. And look, I've been on the other side, playing in the snow.
Yeah.
Versus playing in the heat.
What would you rather?
What's the lesser of two evils? Well, I'm going to go, for my body type, I prefer the snow. I can still feel. I remember playing a game against the London Broncos for St. Helens.
Yeah.
I can remember being put on my back.
Yeah.
And I can still feel the cold now. I can take myself there and just still feel that sensation of the snow hitting your body for the first time. And, we warmed up. And
did you wear gloves? Were you allowed to wear gloves?
Mate, I am going to sin bin you from the Monday sin bin. Like, how dare you?
Really?
How dare you?
Wow.
Are you joking?
Well, the NFL blokes wear gloves.
Mittens,
yeah.
Mate.
And they have hand warmers, don't they, in their jersey?
Yeah, no, they put them in front.
They put the hand... Yeah, but, mate, come on. Well, who do you think I am, Gianfranco Zola, coming over and it's, a bit of wet?
If you went to the bench, I'm not saying you probably played 80. Did you go and have a cup of tea or was it a warm Gatorade or something like that?
No, this is going back quite a bit, sort of 2010-ish, I think it was, so... I think it was just crack on, lads. They put on a big jacket for you, maybe a hat, and
get on with life. No gloves, though.
Heat vest.
Hey, don't whinge.
heat vest
rather than an ice vest.
Blankie.
Onesie. Onesies.
I think what we, Sue, please not flash with cash. I think we were just resorted to the old blow in the hand.
That works a treat, doesn't it?
Blow in the hands, give them a bit of a rub and get on with it.
Mate, you're from the north of England, you've got to show something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's get to this segment then. It's our WTF moment of the week.
The WTF moment.
Anything, something that stood out from the weekend? Who wants to go first?
Okay, I'm going to go up to the Goldie.
Yes.
When was that? Saturday.
Saturday.
And my old mate Kieran Foran getting hoiked in the first half, and he blew up at the trainer.
Didn't he?
And they eventually dragged him off the field. And they were, you know, they were well in the game then. I was stunned by it. I mean, he's your marquee man. You're paying him. He's one of the highest paid players in the club. And I think it was it Tanner Boyd was coming back in the game, and they dragged him off the field. Look, it obviously worked in the end, but it was stunning. I was stunned. I sat there and went, "What the? What's doing here?" I think Kieran went there as well.
Yeah.
Did it feel like a plan, or was it because of the conditions, the way that the game was going, they thought this is a pretty full on game of footy. We need him for the back end.
Well, I'm so not sure whether the Boyd thing, he went off for a HIA, didn't he, and came back on after Olam smashed him, whether that changed the plan. But it was a big call by Justin Holbrook to pull your star playmaker off the field. And when he's unhappy about it and doesn't want to come off.
It did seem odd, didn't it?
My one, I'll leave you for the last one, James, because you got a beauty, I think. Isaac Louis, the ball he gave Tanner Boyd for that, for Justin Olam, that was a bit of a WTF moment.
Wasn't
a floating piece of thing behind him, and he just looks out of the corner of his eye at the last minute, and here's his Papua New Guinea missile just firing himself off.
He got charged today.
What?
Yeah, pretty sure. Well,
what, for tackling him
too
hard?
Let me check that. Sorry.
He couldn't have got charged
for
that.
I'm sure he got charged. I'm sure it was a minor charge.
For that?
Hold on, let me check.
It was just a
go to Jimmy's thing, and I'll check it while I look at it.
My actual WTF moment, Hampson, you probably agree with this because of what you told me a couple of weeks ago about John Bateman, about what kind of character he is. So it's all calmed down. John Bateman's standing over the ruck after an incident in the game against the Dogs, and he's just standing there, just minding his own business. And Reid Marnie decides to jump over the ruck and get in his grill, 2 centimeters away from John Bateman's face. And John, you saw him just go, "What the do you want? Yeah. What? Why are you here?" Reid Marnie is lucky that there's a no-punch rule in rugby league these days, because that, for me, after what you told me about what kind of character John Bateman was very much a WTF moment from Reid Marnie.
He got charged, grade one. He's free to play, though. It's just a fine.
Wow.
But Johnny likes it. He's a spiky character, John. Whenever there's something going on, he's in it. And there's drama.
He was pretty calm. Like, he was calm. He just go away. I think he.
You noticed that as well? Did you think, what are you doing?
That's him. Just him just to be like,
Can Johnny throw him? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he can.
What's your WTF moment?
My WTF moment this week is being in the commentary box. I think the photograph is out there where I was bullied into taking my shirt off. Look, it wasn't that hot, but we did it as a bit of a joke. And we were only shirtless for about 30 seconds.
Just for the photo.
30 seconds, Jimmy,
on. It was just for...
That's influencer behaviour, that is.
Hey, I was coerced into it.
By who?
Charlie White, Gordon Tallis. Should we do this?
By Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie.
Charlie's a third of your weight.
Yeah,
what is it you letting him tell you what to do?
But he is the boss here. So So I respect that. And we not long ago at Triple M we had, a do's and don'ts day, or maybe that'll come up next year. Don't bully the on-air people into remove all of the shirts despite the weather.
I think it was more like 5 minutes. Gordy had his shirt off for a long time.
Yeah, Gordy doesn't care, does he?
No.
Well, I think what...
And Charlie had his off for eternity.
So I must admit as well, I came back into this. So we're there at Triple M. I had to go away for half an hour to do some corporate work for the Dogs, for Multicultural Round, and say hello to a couple of the major partners there. And when I came back in, that's what I came back into. So again, it's probably a bit of my own, the social conformity. They've got it off. That means I have to take it off.
Peer group pressure.
I can just like to put it out there. I was not the instigator. When I walked in, I did say what the, but then I joined in.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Hey guys, last year's contenders starting slow. So you've got the Sharks, Bunnies, Cowboys, Storm, all with one win. And Para, winless as well. By the way, you're talking about, Reedy, about Tiger's stinker of a draw. Like, I got a good mate who's a Para fan.
Oh, yeah.
He reminded me of the fact that they get not only the tough draw, but the tough draw with the bye the tough games.
Yeah.
Each team has the bye before they meet Para, like Penrith this week. Roosters the week after.
They need to look at that. Whatever the algorithm is that produces the draw, obviously... there's a bit of human input into there, but that can't happen again.
That's rank. Mm.
Like it really can't happen again. You can't have that because it's a distinct advantage. Yeah. It really is. I don't know how they come up with the draw. Who gets those buys towards the back end of the season as well? That's going to be huge.
Absolutely
huge.
But with those teams I mentioned, I'm not going to say we're going to start with the positive side outlook and say what team are you backing the most out of that lot to really improve? And this is just an aberration, the start, and they're going to shoot up the ladder. I'll go Bunnies.
I think they all will.
Yeah, me too.
To be honest, I think they'll all. I mean, when Nico might be back this week for the Sharks, they'll be a different team. I think the Cowboys will hit their straps at some point. You know, Storm are going to get some players back. I think they'll all turn it. The one I think may struggle a little bit is Parramatta. I think the other four will turn it around. Parramatta, I'm a bit concerned about.
So I reckon Cowboys and Storm, from what I've seen, haven't impressed me much. I think there's a lot left in the Bunnies. The Sharks with Nico, yes, that was weird that game yesterday. How stressful was it for Canberra to get across the line? But I reckon Parramatta will improve. I reckon they'll get better. They'll get some bodies back.
Yeah, I think they'll improve, but they're coming off a lower base.
Yeah. Mm.
They're coming off that lower base now, and if you're looking at making finals, like 12 wins didn't get you to finals last year.
Mm. And they got Penrith this week. They could be 0-4. And it's funny when you lose, when you start that badly and you're losing footy games, sometimes it can be a little infectious.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Jimmy, that you don't get used to it, but somehow it becomes...
Well, if you look at all their games as well, they've all been tight. So that mentally can play on you, because I think most games this year are going to be tight. And that can just... I think that'll play in them mentally. Hey, why haven't we been able to close these out?
Yeah, the
why
four and against is minus 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After three games. So each of those games has been within... only a try.
Mm.
Yeah.
Only a try, so...
I'm backing them to come good. Yeah. And the Bunnies, definitely... to come good.
Yeah, I think South will, yeah.
That first 20 minutes on
Thursday. But again, it goes back to what I was saying before. I think this, the pack is larger and closer than ever before.
What do you reckon? Is it what you said about spreading the talent a bit thinner, or maybe everyone's got their coaching setups right?
I think the top teams have been stripped a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Penrith obviously have. Cowboys lost a guy like the Hammo, who gives you a bit of depth. Storm's had some injuries, and they don't have the depth they once had. And Cronulla, obviously, Nico's so important. Injuries have played a big part, I reckon, early in the year. Injuries to key players as well. Now, Nico's so important for Cronulla. Munster's so important for the Storm, Munster and Pappenhausen. So injuries to key players, and the fact I think the comp's been levelled out in terms of the depth of squads and the quality of squads, for me.
Well, I think that's a good thing.
Mm. Like, no, I agree. Yeah,
it's so unpredictable.
Mm. Like, yeah, you want that.
This is what we want as a sport, where you look ahead to the weekend and you think, oh, that's nailed on. Like the Warriors haven't won in Australia for something like 11 games now.
He's done a good job, Andrew Webster.
He really
he's
has
done an amazing job.
Yeah. You know, two wins, one loss. The one loss against the Roosters, and then they were in that fight.
Yes. Yep.
Like, I don't know what I can pinpoint it on, but I just think it's great, and it should be celebrated just how close this competition is.
With the ones that have improved, so Brisbane, I think a lot of people expected that. By the way, that performance of Payne Haas, where do you put him, James?
I think he's the best front rower in the competition.
Yeah?
I'd said that 2 years ago. That's where he was at, because Brisbane was so poor and he was this shining light. Mm. So to come up with those performances in a poor team made him stand out even more. Last year there was a few injury concerns, and he was still great. He was still up there in the top five, but then this year, big off season, he didn't go to the World Cup. And he's just started it like a house on fire, and it's even better when his team's playing well. And opposition do their homework on Brisbane now, and they go, "Oh, hang on, we've got to watch out for X, Y, Z," and then Payne Haas. Yeah. Where in previous years it's like, "Well, let's just stop him, and we'll stop Brisbane."
He ran for 240 meters in an hour.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And Matt, he does some tremendous effort areas as well. He's always the guy chasing back on breaks. He chases back
like his life depends on it. He's got fitness, he's got speed, he's got a bit of skill. He started that way for the one of the Walsh tries where he's gone through the line, offload to Carrigan, round the back to Walsh. Like, so he's bringing that into his game. He doesn't mind a little pass every now and then as well. I think he is.
They've got a good rotation. Haas, and I thought Flegler was amazing in that game on the weekend. Yeah. And Paddy Carrigan. Mm. They've got some middles.
That's
up
a
there.
Fair middle three. I think when you look at Brisbane, you see people. It's not a surprise, but cast your mind back, you know, a month, 5-6 weeks ago. Question marks around Kevy.
Mm.
Like their start wasn't ideal. Like Penrith away into Cowboys, two top four teams from last year. You know, you could see how that narrative of the Broncos, the shot, they need to get rid of their coach, could have transpired, but they've shut the deltas up with performances. They're a great team. When Brisbane play well and play like they did on Saturday, yeah, they maybe left things late, but geez, they're good to watch.
Yeah, this Friday night will tell us a hell of a lot about themselves and their opponents as well. The Dolphins, it'll be talked about a fair bit, especially from your point of view, Mr. Queenslander over there.
Well, Peter Bedell will be all over that for us. I'll just be watching.
Peter Bennett Bedell.
I'll be watching from the sidelines. But it may be an amazing week to be up there. Amazing week for footy fans. It'll be a great week as a rugby league journalist to be covering that game because
50,000 there?
Pack well, I don't think they can do 50 because of the member tickets. I think the best they can do is about 45, but they'll do 45.
Yeah.
But you can just see Wayne would be in the background planting seeds everywhere with Pete and Dobbo and those guys. And
you're not
up.
Trying to say that coaches use the media to get a message across.
Heaven forbid, Jimmy. But
independence.
I'm sure we'll see some stories appear. There's a Dolphins bent that was leaning towards the Dolphins, courtesy of Wayne in the background. And
the Doc is pretty good. I don't know if you've caught any of that.
I have watched it, yeah. It's
really
good.
Only caught the first episode.
I've watched the first two, yeah.
Wayne looks like in it. He looks like he's having root canal therapy, but deep down he's really enjoying being interviewed.
But don't you think you can see when you watch him why blokes want to play for him?
Definitely.
He's just so convincing. And
there's an aura.
And yeah.
And he's
compelling.
Honest.
And he's honest. Yep.
He's honest. He doesn't play games.
Mm.
Yeah.
And
you've had coaches who have done that and you can pick it a mile off?
A little bit, yeah. And you can just, you respect his honesty. The greatest compliment I can give Wayne Bennett in terms of how he manages people is, so when you obviously in the national team, we were playing for England, the non-players, the people that have missed out on selection, they were complimentary of him. So usually in that, I've been in that position before where those put like, you know, they're playing week in, week out for their club sides. They're normally the star players within their club sides. Obviously they get picked for representative football. You know, they're normally very bitter about not playing. They can't understand it. But all those guys would be like, look, I can't argue because he's been upfront and honest with me.
Yeah. How did he tap in, just on that, like how did he tap into the cultural aspects of coaching a bunch of Englishmen when he wasn't English?
Well, he's done that before when he's coached the or was part of the Kiwi side in 2008. I think he understands how to get the best out of the individual, and I think he particularly understands young men.
Yeah,
you know, one of the great memories for me again is we were on a short England camp over in England playing a test series against the Kiwis. We were so under strength. We had a heap of our better players missing, and in the build up, we see the schedule, and it's, oh, we've got a trip to Belgium and France. Well, what's all that about? We're there for like 36 hours.
Mm.
And then, you know, we went and visited some war memorials, Menin Gate. And look, I can have vivid memories of being there. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I actually went back to visit it again recently. Mm. So he taps into narrative. He can draw conclusions. He creates these stories along the way that revert back to experiences that you've had.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's a master at that, an absolute master.
We'll be at it this week, I dare say, Reedy, in the build-up to that game. And as you say, yeah. It'd be interesting to see what is said and not said.
Be a great week for the game. Great week for rugby league in Queensland, obviously, but just a great week for the game.
We'll loop back to the Dogs as well about how Cameron Serraldo, and he said it after the first game, Reedy, against Manly. He said, that wasn't us today. Yeah. We got away from how we want to play. Never said, I want to play and I'm going to tell them how they're going to do it. And it's very much a collective. And I think that's what he's about. You hear all those stories out of Penrith about how he galvanised the squad.
Yeah.
But that you can see what they're trying to do out there, unlike their opponents at stages yesterday. Well, there's more to come from the Dogs.
Well, they've looked a different team the past fortnight. The first round, I thought they were really poor. But the last 2 weeks, they've looked, they've just piled on points. They've looked like, Matt Burton, I thought Matt Burton was out really terrible. I thought Matt Burton had one of the worst games I've ever seen him play in round one, but the past 2 weeks, and particularly on Sunday, he was outstanding. You know, Reed Marnie's been a great pickup for him. Viliami's a weapon, you know, and even the young guys like Alamotti was outstanding yesterday. He's got them playing good footy, playing for each other. I didn't think they could make the finals before the season started. Having watched them the past 2 weeks and given how close the comp is, I wouldn't put a line through them right now. I think they're playing well enough, and particularly some other sides around them aren't playing that well, that they're a smoky to make the eight.
Yeah. And they've still got arguably their two best middle forwards to come back into the mix as well in Thompson and Pangai Jr. So that's only going to add to them. I think what they're doing at the moment, they're playing with a level of freedom.
Mm.
You know, that it's not incredibly high risk. It's just taking opportunity to pass the ball, offload the ball at the right times. And they're picking some options, and they've got that left-hand side in terms of strike. Like, the variation in Kickhouse game is sensational. Like, he's a hard, you look at him and you go, big, hard running, hard line running back rower, devastating crash ball style player. But he's got the most beautiful hands, like the most beautiful silky hands over on that left edge. I think within the first sort of 5 minutes, he put on three passes that would all be highlight reel stuff. And he set up the first try for Perham as well. Through a beautiful offload.
Which is surely a nightmare to defend against. Thankfully, I've never had the opportunity to try and defend against a person of that size and pace and scare the shit out of me type thing. But if you go low on him, he offloads. If you go high on him, you just end up a speed bump.
Yeah.
One or two options, unless you get it absolutely right.
It's called do your best.
All the best.
Hold on and hope for the best.
Now it's all the best for this. One of the best Junos in the game.
Mail. Let's start in Melbourne because Cam Munster, we're all wondering whether he's going to play this week. Look, I think he'll be named tomorrow, Cam Munster.
Yep.
But a final decision will rely on his meeting with the specialist because he's got a pin in that finger and he apparently can't play with a pin in. So he'll have to have the pin out if he is to play. That's a decision the specialist will make later in the week. And my gut feel at the moment is, you've got one in there?
No. I can feel the pain.
Yeah.
Of the pin.
They just pull it out.
Oh, yeah. Yuck.
So the specialist will make a decision whether the pin comes out. If the pin comes out, he will play. He's been training with them. Obviously he wants to play, but it'll rely on the specialist and what the specialist decides.
Fair weapon, Jimmy. If the pin comes out, he's playing with it and he's palm off.
handy extra. Really, do you reckon this is a pressure game for Melbourne where they're looking at it? It's like because we've lost back-to-back games, they're thinking we need Munster back. And I'm not so sure the status on Hughes at the moment as well. So
play a part in the decision, you mean?
Well, could that play a part in the decision? And the fact that, are they rushing him back because they think it's a must-win game now? They can't afford to lose three in a row.
I don't, you'd like to think they wouldn't do that, Jimmy, because, I mean, you know, even if they lose that game, the season's on over. And if you risk further damage to that finger, that could mean you miss Cam Munster for longer. So I'd imagine...
But that's a dilemma that, you know, would be there for a lot of players with certain injuries.
Yeah. The other issue is, you mentioned Jerome Hughes. He's looking at 1 to 2 weeks. Now, they're weighing up today whether they fight that charge and try and get a downgrade. I think they might, actually. I think they'll try and fight it, get a downgrade, and that would... Clear, if he gets it downgraded to a grade one, I think he'd be cleared to play. You don't have to pay a fine. So, I mean, I wonder whether that may play a part in their thing as well, because if Jerome's available, then maybe the sense of urgency around Cameron Munster is not as great. But if Jerome's not playing, then you're missing Jerome, potentially Jerome and Cam Munster. I mean, that leaves a lot of pressure on young Jonah Pezzett's shoulders. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, ultimately they're saying they'll be guided by the specialist, and the specialist won't care who's available. The specialist will just decide based on the risk of injury.
Bellamy and Munster will.
Potentially.
So they can, I'm sure if a specialist come down to training for most weeks, they'd probably rule half the team out. Well, legitimately, though, how many times do people play with busted shoulders, end of season surgery?
Yeah.
Like, it's regular.
Yeah.
And when you look at that with I know you might not advise it, Doc, but guess what? I'm pulling this. If you don't pull it out, I'll pull it out or chop the thing off.
I was going to say, you can always go down the path of chopping it off. Oh. Who's done that? Angus did it?
Angus Crichton.
There's someone else did it. I can't remember off the top of my head. There's a couple of blokes that done it. Was there an AFL player did it?
Yes. Daniel Chick.
Yes.
The madman from Hawthorn or West Coast, he did it as well. So, it's an extreme measure, but one that...
He's a bit mad, Cam. He might. I wouldn't rule it out with him.
With him, though, it might affect his golf. So
that's true. Good point. Yeah, he does love his golf. Good point.
Don't just, whatever you do, Cam, don't bring that up to Craig in the meeting about whether you should play.
No, sorry, Craig, I'm trying to get down to two. Yarra, sorry.
Speaking of injuries, we were talking about South earlier, and you said that you think they might bounce back or at least turn it around. Joy Arrow, now, I think it was a hamstring problem with Joy Arrow. He was out, they were thinking short term, but he's had a bit of a setback over the weekend, Joy. So it looks as though he might be out for an extended period now, which is a real blow for South Sydney, given they're also without Totola. And James Saleh got knocked out at the weekend, so he'll miss the game as well. So, a bit of a blow, that.
Yeah, it is, and unfortunately, it's position discrimination. Because if that's Latrell, he's off to America. But
yes, way to go.
Jai Arrow. Yeah, you just sit in the ice bath, pal. Yeah, you can go to Redfern.
Yeah, watch Tom Trevoy with his doco that he did over.
Yeah, Latrell, you teach Jai. Yes. Can you teach Jai what you did over in the States so we don't have to send you? Disgraceful.
Just the last one on Alamotti. We spoke about Paul Alamotti before, the teenage Canterbury centre. He's actually off contract at the end of the year, Paul Alamotti. He ran for 187 metres on the weekend. He had a couple of try assists. And apparently there's a few clubs sniffing around at young Alamotti. So Canterbury are trying hard to keep him, but they might have to sharpen their pencil after the weekend to keep him, because I'm sure there'll be more clubs sniffing around him after the way he played.
When does the word cap pressure come into the conversation for Canterbury?
Oh, they're all right, the Dogs. They've got a bit of space down the track, actually. I think
they're clearing?
Yeah, I think they've signed Crichton as well, but they had a lot of space in 2024. So,
okay.
They've got a lot of room, I think.
Fair enough. Gents, that's the Monday scrum. Look forward to the footy this weekend. It all starts with Para and Penrith. Oh, by the way, is Ryan Madison back this week for Para?
He is back, yeah. I'm sure his teammates would be happy to see him back.
On that, the final word on that. I thought about it this week as well. Ryan Madison copping all this heat. It wasn't like he himself picked up the phone to whoever it is who confirms the charges at the NRL and said, yeah, I'll take the fine. It had to go through Parramatta, surely. Hmm.
Yeah.
Who was the front office person who allowed him to say, yes, I'll take that?
Well, there's two people at fault there. One is Matheson, and then, I wouldn't have allowed it.
It doesn't make sense.
As in the coach wouldn't have allowed it?
I would have stepped
in. The footy manager or whoever?
Whoever made that call, just step in.
Jimmy, how would he be greeted by his teammates when he gets back?
He's going to have to win their respect back. He is. He's going to have to win it back, because, personally, I think I'd lose respect for him.
Mm.
You know, I've heard multiple people say, I don't know if I could walk in and look my teammates in the eye. He's got to earn that trust back that the cause is bigger than you.
Yeah.
And it's bigger than $4,000.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to go and earn that back. And you do that by putting in performances on the field and going above and beyond on the field. He has to do that. He's obligated to do that.
There were claims that he was rushed into a decision, which I find ridiculous.
But that's bollocks. Really, put it to me now. Right, let's take me back to 2016. Yeah. Ask me the question, if I want to take a fine or a 4-game suspension. Ask me.
Do you want a fine or a 4-game suspension?
Fine. That's how long it takes.
Yeah.
That's how long it takes.
Yeah.
I wasn't rushed into that decision. No. That's about how long it takes.
Yeah.
For anyone, I don't care whether you're on $600,000 or you're on minimum wage, train and trial. you need about 0.01 of a nanosecond to make that call.
Yeah. We've got Reedy's mail. I think we've just come up with another segment, Reedy's role play next week.
Oh, I like that.
Here we go. Reedy, Jimmy, thank you, gents. That was the Monday Scrum. Enjoy the week in the lead up to next week's big round of the NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.